Before I do, I want to read from over in the fourth chapter of Romans, getting down at the 20th verse. And I'd like for you tonight to get your minds right on the subject tonight. And unless you have to go back into the baby room back there, stay out with the grown-ups here. Now, last night I was kind of shocked. After I got through preaching, we had a pretty good crowd. And after I got through preaching, I went back there, and lo and behold, there was so many back there in the baby room until it just kind of shocked me when I got back there. And, you know, I'd like for you to stay out here. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I become a grown man, he said, I put away childish things. And so since that's the baby room, let's put away childish things and stay out here with the grown-up. Now then, you know, your mind is the doorway to your heart. Really, faith is the doorway to your heart. But as far as natural terminology, your mind is the doorway to your heart. The reason a lot of people never get anything from God is because they never get their minds on the Word of God. As I've said so many times in preaching, the Bible said that we serve God with the heart and with the mind. Remember that. We serve God with the heart and with the mind. And unless we've got our minds on the Word, then we're not serving God, because God is the Word, Brother Henry. God is the Word, and when you come to the house of God, the thing you've got to do is have your mind on the Word of the Lord. If you don't get your mind on the Word of the Lord, then God can't get your spirit. Remember, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, my words, they are spirit, and they are truth. This literal Word is given to us that it might catch our natural attention, and then the Spirit of this Word, which is the Holy Spirit, it comes out of this Word as you have faith in this Word, and it seals your spirit unto the day that your body is redeemed. And so it is that when you lend your minds to the natural Word, then the Spirit of the Word takes your spirit, and God in your spirit has communed. That's the way it communes with you, is through the Word. Everything that you get is by the Word. You can't get it any other way. So it is tonight, I'd like for you to give me your minds. As I tell them sometimes when I'm preaching, Peter said, look on us. Now, I say look on us, I don't mean with your natural eyes. I have had people, Brother Henry, looking right straight at me, and their spirit was off to the chicken dinner somewhere. But Paul said that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might be able to comprehend the height, the depth, and the width. And tonight I want you to look on me with the eyes of your understanding, and let's get in one mind, and that's the mind of Jesus, in one accord, and that's to do the will of God, and see if we can get into the mind of Christ tonight to get the spiritual revelation that's hid within God's Word. Anybody can preach the Word. You say, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that anybody can preach that Word? Anybody can preach that Word. But even the ministers of Satan can preach it. Even Satan quotes the Scripture. And the Bible said the ministers of Satan are transformed into ministers of light, which means by the power of transformation or renewing of their minds, they can go out into the world of sin and still come back and stand behind the sacred desk and just transform their minds and begin to minister to you the words of life. And Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So then anybody can preach the Word. But I'll tell you what anybody can't do. It takes God's sons to get the context of the Word. It takes God's sons to get the revelation of the Word. Anybody can hear the Word. But it takes the children of God to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, for it's not given to the world to understand those mysteries. And that's what's changing us. Like the song says, the glory of His unveiled face, that's the glory that's changing me. As God unveils Jesus Christ and unveils those Scriptures and the revelation of God, that Scripture comes out. That's the revelation of the spiritual Word itself that's transforming you and I and translating you and I and changing us into the image of the stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. If you don't get it, you won't be changed. You know, some people have the idea that you just wait, and it's something all of a sudden just going to happen and take them right off to heaven all year long. He said, grow in the grace of God. That's the reason the world has missed it this far. That's the reason the church world out yonder's missed it. It's because they kept looking for what man said was a rapture. There's no such word as rapture in the Bible. Paul said a change, not a rapture. The word rapture means caught away. And there's something that's got to happen before you caught away. He said change and then caught up to be with God. We got to go through a change here sometimes or another. And what we got to do is stay right in there and stay with the Word and let the Word change us. The Bible said we're changed from glory to glory and from faith to faith as we enter into the revelation of each divine promise that's given us through every age. They're not made light. That is, though we have the Word with us, yet the revelation of that portion of Scripture is not revealed until the time and the season that God has set in His own power. Solomon said there's a time, there's a season for everything. And all we need to change us is this Word. I want to read a little tonight. I want you to get your minds into the spiritual revelation. I've said this so many times and I won't say it again. I believe Brother Henry's already said it one time tonight, so I'm sitting right. We have left the days of showmanship. I used to do a little show business years ago. But we've left the days of showmanship. God doesn't want a show. If Jesus Christ was up here tonight, He would not perform for you. He would not put on a show for you. But the Bible said we know that there are teachers sent from God, and He just stand here and teach you the Word of God. All He did. He wouldn't put on no demonstration. He wouldn't jump benches. He wouldn't do those things. He'd just teach you the Word of God. Now then, friend, if we are the body of Christ, and Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever, if a man starts a showmanship, then it's not God. It's the flesh. And that's the thing that we're trying to get away from, is the flesh. We're trying to get to God's Word and get in God's Spirit and get God's revelation. What is it that we need? It's God's spiritual revelation that's changing our bodies and translating our spirits and changing our minds and causing us to become the manifested sons of God to a lost and a dying world. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. A lot of people say there's nothing mysterious about God. I've even heard him quote the Scripture where it said, all the ways to plain away fang with fools need not err therein. You know, we need to go back and check up on some of the Scriptures that we quote. The Bible didn't say the way was so plain, a wayfaring fool could just fall there into it. He said that a wayfaring fool shall never even lay eyes on it, is what he said. He said there is a way, there is a highway, and a way that's called holiness. The eyes of the vultures never see it. And though man be a wayfaring fool, he may err over here in the bar room, he may stumble into a dance hall, but brother, in all of his stumbling, in all of his ways, he'll never even err into this way. He'll never even run across this path. Nobody will ever see this but the sons of God. The Bible said they'll never even see it. Now, you're a lot of people, quote another scripture, done a lot of Georgia scriptures. Quote another scripture, and they say, well, the Bible said, after we've done all that we can do, then we're unprofitable servants. The Bible doesn't say that at all. Jesus said, you do the thing that I've told you to do, and then stand before me and say, I am unprofitable. Who can do that? He said, bind the unprofitable servant. Cast him into outer darkness. Brother, when you've obeyed what God said do, you won't be unprofitable. You'll be profitable in the Word of God. Jesus gave a challenge. He said, you do all that I tell you to, then come and say, I'm unprofitable servant. Yeah, you can say you're unprofitable if you do what God tells you. After you do what God tells you, friend, you can't ever say you're unprofitable anymore. Now you can feel humbled, and you can feel like you're unprofitable as far as being anything in the sight of God. But I'll tell you, if you can't tell the truth and say that you're unprofitable, God will make you a profitable servant. Well, let me just get into that. But anyway, notice this now in the book of Romans, in the 4th chapter, I'm just speaking of getting the revelation of the Scripture so that we'll understand it. It says in the 4th chapter, I want you to notice the 20th verse. Now I want you to read with me. Speaking of Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to start tonight in the book of Romans in the 7th chapter, and I want to get into what is one of the most complicated subjects in the whole Bible. I might not ought to get into it tonight, but I want to get in what is the most complicated scriptures in the whole Bible as far as I know. I never had any scripture that was any harder to get the revelation of than this scripture. It's because you try to get it in the carnal mind. But when God revelates it, it's plain and simple. And after God revelated it to me, it was very easy to understand. And I'd like to get into this tonight to try to get your minds. And if I see that on the 7th chapter that I can get your minds, then I know that I can get into spiritual revelation tonight. About two nights that I couldn't get into spiritual revelation, but the other night we haven't had any trouble. And I hope tonight we can get into spiritual revelation, because it's my firm conviction that we are now at the end time. The prophet predicted in the year 77, as I've told you, that the millennium will come by the year of 77. That's his prediction according to the visions that he had. And I told you that according to what God showed me, everything points to the rapture between the year of 66 and 67. It looks like it'll fall right in there. I don't know that that's true, but it just points that way. The other night when we had the 70 weeks of Daniel, you saw that what the angel told Daniel, that it transpired in that time. You saw it the other night, you took a pencil and figured it out for yourself, and it looks like everything is going to wind up by 70, and as far as I know, according to all that's been revealed to me, it's going to wind up by the year of 1970. God spoke to me in California, as I told you, sometimes 7 to 8 hours a day, and kept me awake all night long talking to me, till my body was almost broke down, speaking to me. And I told Betty some things. I said, Betty, I said, Abraham Lincoln and Kennedy's office is one and the same. And then, as I said, just a few days later, it was published in the paper and proved just exactly what I said. And then I said, Betty, I said, according to what God has shown me, I draw charts of it. I said, communism will take over through the policy of the Catholic teaching. And I said, never before in the history of the world have they ever done it, but according to God, they're going to do it. I said, the foreign countries are going to cash in their American currency and demand gold. And it was just a few weeks later that they published in the paper, said it never had been done in the history of the world, but said France, for the first time, the first nation that they had record of that ever demanded gold for currency. But she demanded gold for currency. Then there was other things that God told me. I said, Betty, I said, China has a wall around her that's 1,500 miles long. It's a type of the New Jerusalem. And I said, China is waiting. I said, a lot of people have overlooked China, though she has about 700 million people. I said, they've overlooked China. I said, but she's going to play an important part in the end time. And just a few weeks later, they come and showed me a piece in the paper, and a great big red dragon. But this is what I told Betty. I said, China is going to suddenly realize that her strength doesn't lay in competing with the scientists of this world, but it lays within a multitude of her people. And that was what she published in the paper. Said China had come to recognize that her strength laid within the multitude of a people. We haven't got but about 3 billion people, or about 2.5 billion people in all the world, and she's got about 700 million. She's got about a third of the population, and she could easily overrun the civilized world with what she's got and take it over if she wanted to do it. She's not called the land of the dragon for nothing. She's not spent her days in poverty for nothing. Let's get on here with our subject. It looks like the end is upon us, and I believe just as much as I believe I'm standing here that all things will wind up by 77. And as I said for Brother Henry and him's sake tonight, since I wasn't here, and I talked with a brother, they said the star that crossed its orbit when Branham was born and when Jesus was born will cross its orbit again around the year of 66. And I didn't know that until after I told them what I did. And then they told me that. And they also, in talking, As I found out that Brother Branham said the year 70 would be 63 with our calendar, which makes his prediction wind up in 70, if that's right. And if that be so, then that means the millennium can come in by 1907. But I still believe that things are going to wind up with 70. Everything points to it. And the prophet said, I'm not prophesying. He said, I'm predicting. He didn't say it was prophecy of thus saith the Lord. It's just his prediction according to the visions he had been shown. So I'm ready for anything. I'm just waiting for anything to take place. My God's been real to me all my life, but he's never been more real to me in my life than he was while I was in Los Angeles, California. Talk with me night and day. I'll tell you, God's real. God's real. Everything in this world is being shaken. Every church across the nation is being shaken. I stood yonder in Chicago, prophesied against the place that seated 2,400 people, that the great men of this world had come and filled up that place. And I prophesied against it. God closed the doors on it. I prophesied against the place right over in Arkansas. God closed the doors on it. I spoke to them in Athens, and God closed the door. Amen. You go close some more doors. What you see? A number of places around the world, Brother Henry, he's closed the door. What is it? Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. God is shaking everything except the Word of God. And we are the manifested Word of God and an epistle that's known and read of all men. And nothing can shake us because we're on the right foundation. Oh, hallelujah. Everything's going to pass away but God's Word. Isn't that wonderful? Everything. Now then, the Spirit leading a little different tonight, but I want to get out of the Spirit, but I want to get into this if I can tonight. Notice in the 7th chapter. Now remember, I told Brother Bobby this today. I want to tell you tonight. I'm not going to try to hold you long, get a long, drawn-out subject. But the Bible said, be easy to teach. Be easy to teach. People are so hard to teach. Remember, Jesus Christ is a teacher sent from God. If you ever talk to Jesus Christ, whether he talks through Brother Pike, Brother Henry, Brother Bobby, whoever, he's going to teach you. That's his job, to go into all the world and teach. Teach the gospel. That's his job to do that. And if you ever commune with him, that's the way he's going to commune with you. He's a teacher sent from God. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, where he's in my body, or whether he's walking the sandy shores of Galilee. And he's not a teacher like I've said a lot of times. When you speak of teaching the Word of God, you think about the heads and governments in the church. That's not a five-fold ministry teacher. A teacher is a revelation teacher. That's in the body. He said that for the perfecting of the saints. To perfect the saints of God. And Jesus is that teacher. Now then, I want you to notice this tonight. If you're easy to teach, you're just like a little child that's in a schoolroom. Some of them are easy to teach. Some of them are hard to teach. Some of them can make 2 grades in 1 year. And some of them can spend 2 years in 1 grade. It depends on what you do. So tonight, let's be easy to teach. Let's receive the things of God. I can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus because it's going to take this word right here. It's going to take this word as a seed planted in your heart and the Spirit of God to water that seed to bring forth a harvest of revelation that will give you faith from that word that's in your heart to translate your mortal being the same way that God translated your spirit by it and put your spirit into the kingdom. He's got to do your body the same way. But God done the Spirit that way, and he's waiting for you and I to save ourselves when it comes to the body from this underworld generation to perfect it. Now then, notice what Paul says here. We try to get our mind into a little revelation here. He tells us here, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also I become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, remember, the mysteries of God is what we want to talk about. God is a mystery. And it's given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And God has got ministers for that purpose. And those mysteries are revelations that will change our body. It's the mind of Jesus Christ being perfected in his body. Notice what he says now. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, if you don't know what the word lust means, in the Greek text it means desire. In other words, to desire something, that's lust. If you look on anything to desire, if you look on a woman, if a man looks on a woman, to desire, that's lust. If you look on something in the material realms out here, to desire that thing, that's lust. That's lust. Now notice this. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Now then, Paul is telling us here that as long as we're under the law, and the law is over us, and we haven't come to the place to recognize grace and realize that we are dead to the law by what Jesus done for us or by the body of Christ, haven't come to the place to recognize that he became us in death, that we might become the body of Christ in life, that he took our sins and went to the cross, that we might take his righteousness and his healing and his love and understanding and stand before God as innocent people. God's trying to tell us that we haven't come to that place. We're still under the law. We're still under the law, and everybody that's under the law is under the curse of the law, and they've got to pay the penalty for sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. The Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with God, and the body without the spirit is dead. Now then, if the man that's out under the grave, if he's dead because his spirit departed from the body, then according to the Bible, we are dead within our body because our spirits have departed from the body and our spirits is translated into the kingdom of God, and we wait for the redemption of the body. And that means that we are free from sin because sin hath dominion over the body and the law hath dominion over the body, but it hath no dominion over the spirit if the spirit's been born again. Now, why are you saying that, Brother Pike? Notice this. He tells us a little further. Ninth verse, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion, by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now notice this, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I can sin unto the law that it is good. Now there is no more I that doeth, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now notice this. He goes on to emphasize the fact, when he says sin that dwelleth within me, he is not speaking of sin that dwelleth within his spirit. But he said, within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Satan works through the five senses to oppress the soul or oppress the spirit of mankind, and as long as you are alive in the body, then Satan has a chance to come through those five senses and oppress the life that is within you and grieve the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to fast. That's why we need to keep our minds on Christ. That's why we need to study the Word all the time. The Bible tells us to keep the promises of God before our eyes. Solomon tells us, I believe it is, said, keep the promises of God before your eyes.
He said, talk about him when you raise the body of bed. He said, talk about him at the table with your children. Just let him be like frontlets over your eyes. Just keep the promises before your eyes all the time. Eyes of understanding. Shun the appearance of wild imagination, of evil, of anything that's contrary to the word of God. And just let your mind and spirits be anchored in the promise of God. If the promise of God says it, say it, yea and amen, because all the promises of God are yea and amen. He'll not alter the thing that's gone out of his mouth. He'll hasten to perform his word, and his word never changes. It's just the same always. So it is, the word of God should be before us all the time. Notice this now. He said, when I would do good, when I would do good, when I have good thoughts, he said, immediately I see some evil thoughts coming. And he said, when I would do something good, I find that I'm spiritually oppressed by an evil power that God calls the powers of the earth. Satan is the prince or the ruler over the powers that's in the air. And I've heard it all my life that there's nothing wrong with the world, but it's the people. But I want you to know there's something wrong with this world. The Bible said the very days are evil. And the spirits that's in the air, they are literally oppressing my mind from day to day. They oppress your mind from day to day. And Satan desires to trample down the minds of humanity. That's his desire. Why? Because your mind is the doorway to your spirit and to your heart. And if he can keep your mind in carnality, if he can take the five senses and draw your carnal thinking all the time, then the Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God. You can't please God with carnal things, because they'll perish of it. And a man that thinks on carnal things, he's always at enmity with God. I brought it out here the other night where he said, I'll place enmity between the seed of the woman and between the serpent's seed. And that enmity is the carnal mind. That carnal mind is enmity. It's enmity with God. And you can't please God. If you're worldly minded, if you have the love of the world, or if you're seeking the temporal things, then you have no hope of eternal things. You can't see revelation. But I'll tell you what you can do. If you can come to the place to where you can get out of the carnal mind, get into the spirit. Paul said, I would speak unto you spirituals. Get into the spirit and be spiritual, then God can show you many things. The natural mind or the natural man, he never received the things of God. He can't even know anything about them, because it takes a spiritual discerning to lay hold on revelation. Notice this. Paul said, when I would do good, he said, I find a continual warfare between the body and the soul, and I find a continual oppressing. I find a continual reminding of condemnation. And he said, it just looks like it's pressing me to death. And then he goes on down. He said, though inside I'm sanctified, though within my spirit I'm holy, though within my heart I've got the mind of Jesus Christ, my spirit's translated in the kingdom, but because I wait for the redemption of the body, and the creature which is the body is made subject to the vanities of this world, he said, I just can't find any peace. It's a continual warfare. If I let down in the spirit, then Satan rises up in the flesh. If I rise up in the spirit, then Satan has to let down in the flesh. The only thing I can do is just kill out the flesh, Paul said. Get it under subjection. Bring it into subjection to God. Cast down wild imagination. He said, bring every thought into subjection to the laws of Jesus Christ. What is it? Paul said, when I would do good, he said, evil comes around. Then he goes on down. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who can deliver me from the body of this death? Then he said, well, he said, I caught a vision. I see the light. He said, I see the body of Jesus Christ hanging there on the cross, and he's been made sin. He's been made my body of sin, and there's no more sin in the flesh. God's taken away all sin of the flesh. He took away sin for every man that ever walked the earth. Sin in the flesh. And he nailed Jesus to the cross. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he died, and sins are taken away, and there's no more condemnation. For as far as God condemning us or finding anything wrong with us, we're perfected forever in the sight of God. He hath made us perfect in his sight forever. Then we see here a little further, he said, I am delivered by the body of Jesus Christ. How? Because my body is dead, my spirit has come away from the body, and the Lord did not say the body that sinneth shall surely die, did he? He said the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And this is where we have it on the rest. God took away sin of the flesh for all the world. Why did he do that? Because if God had not took away sin of the flesh, in the day of judgment, men could have stood there and said, God, you made me subject to vanity. God, you're to blame for this. God, you created me and placed me in the world. You're the one that made the creature subject. The Bible said God subjected the creature to vanity. He was the one that done it. He done it in hope. And in the day of judgment, we could accuse God. But because of God's wisdom, because of God's grace, God let Jesus Christ take away all the sins of the flesh, all the sins of the world. But there's one thing he never took away. That's the sin of the soul, except for them that believe in him. He said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. If the core of the apple's got a worm in it, it's rotten, and ain't nothing you can do about it. Now, if you got a good apple and you get a worm in the edge of it, or you get a bruise on the edge of it, you can cut it off and the apple will still be good. But Brother Henry, when the worm gets in the core or gets in the seed, you might as well throw the apple away. It'll never reproduce. It's no good for anything. God looks at the spirit. The Bible said he desires truth within the inward parts. He wants the spirit of truth within the inward parts. A desire within your spirit to do right, and if you'll walk in his way, you'll have the nature of Jesus Christ. He's taken it away. All the world, all the sins have been taken away. Now I want you to know that he said the soul that sinneth shall surely die, and in spite of the fact that he delivered man from sin as far as the creature's concerned, yet those men that don't have God's nature within them and don't have the Spirit of God within them, they can't walk right, they can't do right, they're continually thinking evil. The Bible said the very imagination of their hearts are continually evil, and they can't escape it, and nothing is clean to them, nothing is pure to them. They're defiled on the inside. But we who have the Spirit of Christ, we cannot sin a sin of the soul. The Bible said the seed of God remaineth in us, and we cannot sin because we are born of God. We have God's Word, which is His seed within us. That Word is a promise of life. It's words of life. It's a promise unto life. And inasmuch as God has changed the law back there to the extent that the law is passed away, as far as we're concerned, and He's brought in the dispensation of grace, and He's made us to be under the law of faith, then that that's not of faith is sin. And since our justification is by faith, and we can't sin against the law, and transgression of the law is sin, we can't sin against God because transgression of the law is sin, and we're dead to the law. We can't transgress it. Then if the Word of God remains within my spirit, and there is a constant reminder even at my lowest end. When I'm cast down, there's a constant reminder. I can stumble, but in spite of my stumblings, in spite of my errors, Brother Bobby, I've been through some hard places, and it looked like I just couldn't get up and go. But the Bible said a good man falls 7 times, he'll still get up. It looked like I just couldn't go anywhere, but some, I said, Lord, it looks like I'm gone. But something inside said, but thou art justified by faith. My faith would lift up in God. God said, son, you haven't sinned. I said, but God, look at my error. But the Spirit of God, the promise of life, would speak to me. And he'd say, justification by his works. And my faith still held up in God. What is it? It's the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It's what's called the faith of Jesus Christ. And the faith is placed within your heart. And that's the faith that overcomes the world. And when my faith fails, it just keeps right on believing. And my justification is by that faith. And since my justification is not by my works, Jesus done my works finished from the foundation of the world, then my justification is by faith, and I cannot see him. I tell you, it's wonderful though, isn't it? To know tonight the seed of God, the Word of God said, this anointing remaineth within you. It abideth there forever, never leaving you. And all the time it's saying, you're holy, you're holy. And he said, oh Lord, I get contaminated with conversations. My soul is vexed like Lot's was, but because they talk about evil, and I want to think about good. But when I get away by myself, my hope of glory rises, and the refreshing whereby the weary might rest sweeps into my heart. Hallelujah, and I feel clean all over. What is it? Paul said, Jesus Christ has delivered me from condemnation. And my faith is in God tonight. I'm resting in the Lord tonight. Talking to God one day, and I said, Lord, I said, how can it be? And this is the way he spoke to me. He said, son, do you remember back there when Abraham come forth and met Melchizedek? He said, and the Bible said that though Levi was still in the loins of Abraham, that he was accredited with the righteousness of Abraham as paying tithes. He said, that's how it come about. I said, how is it, God? He said, in the loins of your father, he said, you a spirit. And he broke it down so beautifully. No, I saw it so beautifully. He broke it down really heavily. And he said, he broke it down now. He said, now you remember a seed that comes from a man to a woman? He said, it's a blood seed. He said, it's a blood seed. And the life, which is the spirit, is in the blood seed. And he said, it's when they began to mate, when they began to have that holy union of multiplying that God commanded to. He said, that divine inspiration, that is an allegory of the inspiration between God, Jesus, and the bride. He said, when that inspiration comes forth, from those loins comes forth that seed and that blood drop. And inside of that blood comes forth that spirit of life that belongs to that individual. It's a part of his spirit. And then it formates, and then it passes on to reproduce his own image. And he said, so it is with God. And he took my mind way back yonder. He said, way back yonder, before the foundation of the world, he said, God, who is a spirit from everlasting to everlasting, he said, God, by all divine inspiration, the union between God and the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ conceived. Oh, the inspiration of God inspired in the thoughts of creation. Of bringing the world into existence in his own spiritual inspiration. Now the spirit came forth just like the seed does, and it formated into a thought. And the thought was conceived with the mind of Christ. And by the power of predestination, he said, Job, where was you before the morning stars ever sang together when the sons of God leaped for joy? Where was you, Job? Where was I? In the mind of Almighty God, predestinated as he looked down through the telescope of time and saw me leaping and shouting and praising God, leaping for joy. There the mind of Christ conceived, the seed of God which took the formation of a thought, and then God projected that thought into a fleshly body through the womb of Mary, and that body came forth as the bride of the Spirit. Never in the history of the world had it ever been done, and that body began to go into travail on the cross, and children began to be born. Oh, hallelujah. And what? All the Bible said as they begin to be born, they were born in his image, created in his life. What was it? It was God reproducing his own self. That's what we are today. No wonder they said you're crazy, Jesus, when he said you're God's. That's what he's made you. He's made you God's members of the body of Christ. What is it? We're under contract with God, that God, the Heavenly Father, who is the Spirit, has created a body to dwell in, to make us one with his own self. And his desire is for me to be one with God. And collectively speaking, we rule heaven and earth. Oh, as a body, and Jesus Christ, the head of that body, and God, the mind of that body, and the Holy Ghost, the life, for inspiration of that body, and they're joiners with God, ruling heaven and earth, withholding no good thing from them that walk upright before him. That's why I've got his righteousness. That's why I've got his faith. That's why I've got his holiness. That's why I've got his blessing. That's why I'm already glorified, predestinated and justified. Why? Because he's made me one with himself. That was the purpose in the beginning. For God to create his own self. Look, when Brother Henry, Brother Bobby had the child, what is it? It's a reproduction. We said chip off the bone. It's a reproduction of his own image. It's a reproduction of his own spirit. And though they develop their own likes and dislikes as far as taste, yet it's still Brother Bobby and Brother Henry. Amen. If you don't believe it, you watch. They'll reproduce the characters of their dead. They'll even inherit. They'll even inherit the diseases that's in the bloodstream. What is it? What is it? It's God reproducing himself. Oh, hallelujah. All the glory rebounding back to God. Boy, how could his spirit do anything else but praise him for the attributes of God that's manifest to the human being? And his spirit calls back and says, hallelujah. Who's greater than my dad? Amen. Who's greater than my father? I'm a son of God. And no wonder the world has to take a back seat. No wonder the Bible said in the book of Daniel, said in the last days when these sons of God begin to realize that heaven and earth belongs to them, that they'll rise up and take the kingdom. What's going to stop them? Amen. When they start talking to the sun, they say, you stand still over here. And they begin to talk to the Red Sea. You get out of the way. Hallelujah. They begin to move by the power and glory of God. Who in the world can stand before them? The Bible said the army of Jordan, and they march like mighty men, and behind them everything just burning desolate, like a consuming fire. They move through the land, and nothing can't stop them. Amen. They won't be always gossiping about each other. Go over and say, Brother Henry, we're brothers.
Brother Bobby, we are brothers, made in the likeness of our heavenly Father.
That's what Paul is speaking of. The mind of Jesus Christ. Let's hurry along now. The mind of the Lord reproduced in the body of Jesus Christ, in travail, reproducing his own image. That's where we're at today. We're children of God. We're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the mind of God. What does it mean? Here's what it means. That this spiritual mind that was hid in God before the foundation of the world, this same mind that was in God, that same word which is God's seed, which was spiritual before it was manifested as flesh or manifested as the printed page, that same spiritual word, it's alive. And it's in our midst tonight. It's given to us through faith and grace by the finished works of Jesus. And that mind is being put in the human body. It's being brought to us by part, and soon it's going to be perfect. And that same mind, oh listen, well, let me tell you this. One time I was talking to somebody and was talking about mind over matter. I said, that's wrong. The Lord said, no, that's not wrong. I said, that's got to be wrong. Mind over matter. You know, scientists says everything in the world is just a mass of matter. Everything that takes up space, they call it a mass of matter. And they say, matter is molecules, molecules is atoms, and atoms are electrical protons, and those electrons and so forth, they're electrical sparks. And they've learned that everything is just electrical sparks, and God can just ignite it at any time he wants to. That's right, even by the atom bump, he wants to, and the elements, as Peter said, will be on fire. So that's where they get the bomb from. But anyway, they've learned that. And then they say the way you master it is mind over matter. And I said, God, that can't be. But the Lord said, they're not as far wrong as you think. He said, they just got the wrong mind, that's all. It's the mind of Jesus Christ, and it's mind over matter, and it controls matter, and it changes the form of matter by the power of faith, and it speaks things into existence and speaks things out of existence. Scientists have learned that if they can change the course of the molecules, they make gold. And they don't know how to do it, but we know how to do it. Amen. It's by faith. Christ is mind over matter. That's why Christ could just take his body. This is the gift of God, friend. If we can perfect the mind of Jesus Christ within our body, while the world runs after that finite mind or the carnal mind of the beggarly elements of the world, then we can master this body, and we can make it visible, make it invisible. We can make it all the pieces and put it back together, do anything we want to. Why? Because it's God's word. It's God's mind. Our mind becomes one with God's mind. And it's not us speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking. And my spirit emerges into his spirit. I become one. And oh, I share the joys and glories and blessings of God as his spirit flows through me. Joy and peace. Owning heaven and earth and walking in the Almighty God. Collectively speaking. You as the body. How many believe that God and Jesus was one? Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Are you the body of Christ? Are you? God's spirit within you? Much more. That's why they tried to kill him, because he kept saying, I'm going to follow the Lord. Now, Brother Henry, if I had to be one with God by my own righteousness, I'd be safe to live this tonight. But I want you to know that he's made me to be his righteousness. He's the one that done it. I didn't do it. And if he wants to do it, that's all right with me. If he wants to justify me and perfect me forever and sanctify me forever, that's all right with me. Hallelujah! And Paul said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Don't go gossiping about God's elect. They're perfected forever, sanctified once and for all by the offering up the body of Jesus on free. Where are we tonight? It's the body of Christ, and it's the mind of God going into that body. That same mind that predestinated you and I. That same mind that thought this world into existence back yonder in the beginning. Because God's thoughts are created, and those thoughts have been literally manifested in a printed page that we might acquaint our carnal mind with it and use it for a channel through which the Spirit of God could pass. Not the carnal mind, but the brain. The carnal mind is that inbred power of Satan that works in the human brain. God doesn't want to destroy the brain. He wants to destroy that power that's working in the body, working through your five senses. He wants to use your brain. And so it is, if we can get the mind of the Lord Jesus tonight, friend, that we can have complete control over this body. And we can get this body as a gift forever. And if this body lays down out under the grave, when that inspiration comes along, then like fire shut up in our bones, that consuming fire that shut up in our bones will begin to move. We can come right back out, and we can call every atom into its place. You say, I don't believe that. The Bible said Jesus had power to lay down his life to take it up. Is that what he said? Are we the body of Christ? Same yesterday, today, and forever? Hallelujah. Whatever he's got, we got. Because we're here. I believe it. Oh, you say, but what about the Son of God? We say, we haven't known him after the flesh. But we don't know him after the flesh no more. We know him after the Spirit. Praise the Lord. He's the head of this body and we're the many members. Praise God. Stand with me, will you? There's so much more to be said tonight. I wanted to get into so much more, but I'm afraid that I'll hold you too long if I do. Listen, friend. The whole secret is this. That God, who is a spirit, cannot manifest himself. Remember, God, great as the mystery of God is, for he was manifested. He was manifested. How? In the flesh. Now, if God is a spirit and we are sons of the spirit, then we are spiritual beings in houses of clay. And the Bible speaks of the manifested sons of God. How can they be manifested? Only one way. In the flesh. They've got to be seen in the flesh. What's happening? They're coming out. The gifts of wisdom. The gifts of miracles. The gifts of healing. That's God coming. Boy, that's the sons of God being made manifest in flesh, showing it different from other people. Showing it different. That they're supernatural in their thinking, they're supernatural in their actions, they're supernatural in their powers of mind of God working in human flesh, creating things through that human body. And what's going to happen? After he thoroughly manifests himself through the power of inspiration over this bundle of nerves, that the world can see him, that we might enjoy the inspiration, collect the thoughts and the attributes of God to become acquainted with our Father, then what's going to happen? Then that glow is going to consume this body. And every blood gene is going to be changed. Every blood cell is going to be changed. The bone structure is going to be changed. And we'll be a shining light. Daniel said that shall shine brighter than that noonday sun of young. You think that sun's bright at noonday? You just look at one of the sons of God. When it's one of the sons of God are fully manifested, you couldn't look at him. You couldn't look at him. Why? He's brighter than the sun. How many believe God's brighter than the sun? Jesus brighter than the sun. We're the body of Christ. Daniel said they'll shine brighter than the noonday sun. Just one of the sons of God alone, when they're manifested, the sun will just cover up its face. That's all it can be. Its light won't be glorious anymore. There'll be a greater light. A greater light. You know, we're children of light. Understanding, revelation. Not children of darkness, ignorance. Wandering around out telling the teachings of all kind of ideas and theology and disciplines. We're going to say this. Coming to a close tonight. We have a prophet in our day. Most of us are acquainted with him. And I'm thankful for it. Because he was a milestone in the sage like Martin Luther and the others. And the revelation of God's word for the sage didn't start breaking until God set the milestone. When the milestone was set, the fivefold ministry across the world began to receive revelations. They don't know where it come from, but it come from God. He began to reveal to them. It was that age. It was that time. Now that great revelation is coming forth, you know what it's doing? Brother Branham is the type of Jesus Christ, the Messiah of our age. And I said to you the other night, like Moses was the Messiah of that age, like Jesus was his age. He's the Messiah of our age. What is he doing? He is rapturing the bride. Huh? The spiritual revelation of God that's being revealed in this age. He's the key man because of the type of the head till the head comes. He's God in his spirit. Remember, not in his body. The corporal body of Jesus must appear. Or at the coming, the corporal body will come and then we and Brandon will be changed just like you and I as a member. But in his spirit, he is the manifested God in this age. And everybody's that spirit is being, their spirit's being raptured to that spirit. It's being drawn. And they're coming out of denominations, rapturing them out of denominations, Brother Henry, out of ideas, out of theology, and rapturing them to the head. And the vindicator of this age, which is the prophet, is vindicating their message because it's the same revelation he's got that's coming through their heart. And he's a vindicator of this age, and he's drawing and rapturing them. Now, when he gets every one of them out of all ideology, the bride will be saved. And when Lot went out of Sodom, then came the fire. Just as soon as God gets it all into this revelation, raptures us out of the fleshly thinking into revelation, into the heavenly places, then we'll be separate from the world. Jesus said, I've chosen you out of the world. And then is when the trouble's going to stop. Because once he gets all of us raptured out, we all get in one mind. Oh, my. How many of you know what happened on the day of Pentecost when he got in one mind? Mind of Christ. That's what they got in. One accord. When he gets every one of us raptured out of ideology, gets us all in one mind, separates us from the world, then that great inspiration, like a mighty rushing wind's coming in, is going to fill all this house. And we're going to be changed into the likeness of Almighty God, and then shall we be caught up. That's what we're waiting for. Right at the doorway now. Let's gather around the altar just for a minute, will you? Just for a few minutes tonight. Don't ask me to stay long. But just for a few minutes tonight, friend, I tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? That I feel, Brother Henry, I feel that spirit that's going to resurrect us from the dead. In fact, according to my understanding, there won't be no dying in this age, not for the bride. That's done gone. God had nothing to do with death. Death came by man. God's never had anything to do with life. He come that we might have life. He's the spirit of life. And all the attributes of life, health, joy, peace, happiness, is in our spirit. And friend, it's changing us. The glory of his unveiled face, from revelation to revelation, as the scriptures are revealed. The scriptures of the word of God is the power of God. That scripture or that word is transformed into power when faith touches it, and it becomes anointed of God's word and our spirit. It's the power of God. That's what that word is. And it's transforming our being. Those promises, that word that created heaven and earth, that created your body, is recreating and bringing it back into the likeness of God. That spiritual word that condemned us unto death back then because of our transgression through the purification of his son Jesus is commanding us unto life. In this age, to everyone that hears my words, believe on me is passed from death unto life. You'll never come into condemnation and you'll never even see death. That word of life has come to us. The same revelation Enoch got, the same one Elijah got, the same one Jesus had standing on the mount, we've got it in this age. That means it's translating time. That means it's transforming time. That means it's rapture time. Because the revelation is coming. What is it? What are you waiting on? Just a few more. It's got to come into the ark. Just a few more. It's got to come out of Babylon and out of denominationalism. And then when we all get together, hallelujah, when we all get together, one mind, and begin to speak the same thing, I say, Brother Pike, everybody will never speak the same thing. I know that because everybody ain't in the bride. Everybody in the bride speaks the same thing. How could we speak anything else when we're God's spirit? If God's spirit is one with our spirit, how could we ever speak anything else? You say, well, why did they do it through the years gone by? It's because they've been growing like babes in the grace and the knowledge. And some of them grow a little faster than the others. And so they spoke things different. But they're all about to catch up with each other now. All coming together. One ain't above the other. They never have been above the other as far as righteousness, justification, just through the deal. Will you bow your heads with me just a few minutes? Children of God, I'm telling you the truth from my heart tonight. The thing that I'm telling you is so help me God, they're true. Let me say this while your heads are bowed, not to try to prolong the service to hold you, but remember this, God's Spirit cannot come through your finite mind to heal your body or to translate your body. He's perfected your spirit, placed his kingdom within it, and he works from within that kingdom through the channel of your faith. But remember, the only way that he can get into your body from the inward spirit is through the mind of Jesus Christ. And that mind is a finished work. You must believe the promises of God, yea and amen, without wavering, without wondering, without weakness, in the strength of Christ. The weak might say, I'm strong. Call those things that are not as though they are. That perfects the mind of Christ. And through the mind of Christ, as you call it, a finished work, the Spirit of God comes sweeping in through his righteousness and through the channel of that mind, and it does whatever you desire. But as long as you stay within your carnal thinking, you'll never get anything from God. It must be through the mind of Christ. So I beseech you tonight, by faith, believe every promise in the Bible. Believe every promise, because that's the mind of God that his Spirit must come to you through. Believe it tonight. Rest in it tonight. Hope in it. Cast down imaginations. Bring every thought that you've got into subjection with the promises and say, yea. Whatever God said, that's yea and amen. Remind yourself of the promises. You might say, what promises? He'll supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. By his stripes I'm healed. Never leave me nor forsake me. With me always. Things like that, just keep reminding yourself. And develop that mind, and it'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now I wonder why we've got Brother Henry and Brother Bob and the other ministers here. I wonder, if you need anything for your body tonight, I'd love to pray for you. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. I say, Brother Pike, are you saying you're righteous? No, I'm saying the body of Christ is righteous. God has made us his righteousness. So, I feel worthy through him to pray for you tonight. Now then, if you'd like to be prayed for, We're the body of Christ. That virtue is within us, and you can draw it from the members of the body like the little woman did just by lifting up faith, and God will heal you tonight. I ask you to do it. If you want to be prayed for while the minister's here, just step forward. Just let me know that you want to be prayed for. We'll pray earnestly tonight. You say, I've been prayed for, Brother Pike. Well, don't feel bad. Elijah prayed a good many times before the rain ever come. You have to just keep coming back till your faith gets set right, and the mind of Christ gets fixed right within you. Or until the preacher raises up another faith to be able to get that screen to close in the night. The sisters that believe in God, said the believers, thank you, God. I believe the virtues in the body of Christ. Ministers are here praying. If any two or three agree as touching anything, God said, I'll do it. All right. Amen.
I saw as we stood there in the altar that what this world has been trying to go by is the five senses. And then I saw a huge plane. You know what those wheels are for? They're not for flying. They're just while you're on the ground. Those wings is to keep you in the air. That's your faith in the Word. Receiving the mind of Christ. Yet it seems impossible for that huge thing to stay up there. I don't understand it, but it does. I don't understand how God does all that He does, but He does. But I can't understand it while I'm leaning on these five senses. But when I soar into His Spirit, by faith, journey into a land that I've never been, by faith, taking hold of things, though they're not, yet you believe that they are. That's how you stay up. And that's what's wrong with this revival that's going through the world today. It's nothing but a puffing up of the flesh. What you see with the eyes, that you say that God's doing. But that's not it. For what you see with your eyes is not really happening. It's just a cover up. Because the Spirit's never affected. Just the flesh is being manifested, not the real Spirit. And yet, I got a magazine today. It said, I want you to send me a dollar for every apostle. Then a huge amulet. Beautiful to the flesh, but what in the world has God's preachers got to do with amulets? And yet, they seem to be in a third heaven because they've got amulets to hold the sick people in. I'm not interested in the sick people coming in. I'm interested in people coming in that wants their spirits perfected, not their bodies. That's what's brought this multitude together today, is for the five loaves. It's not for what eternal life they can get out of it. It's not what people can get eternally. It's what they can get with their eyes and feel with their hands. That's why these great healing campaigns attract the multitude. It's they're wanting healing for their body and living like the devil. And I'm glad that God kept me out of it. I'm thankful tonight that God kept me out of it. One of the greatest heartaches I ever got was when a man wrote me a check for $4,500. Brother Pike now drove 700 miles to get the tent. And perhaps I'd been in one of the great campaigns across America today, plastering my name and my picture on magazines. That's natural. But God intervened. I'm glad that what God's doing, that you can't see with the natural eye. You got to see it by the spiritual eye. Amen. I'm sure that you enjoyed the service tonight. Service tomorrow night at 7:30. And I wish that you that wasn't here the other night when Brother Pike preached on the mark of the beast and brought in revelations, and I'll tell you, almost scared me. But I knew it was the truth and knew it was the Spirit. Let's pray much and just wait on the time. This Spirit's already been perfected. We're just waiting on this body. Put on that immortality. Our bodies are groaning, not our spirits. Our bodies are groaning for the appointment of death to be broken off of this body. Our spirits will never die. We're just waiting for this body to get that appointment of life. Amen. I believe it's almost here. Amen. I believe all things is climaxing just a little longer. Amen. Anybody got anything on the heart before we dismiss? Anybody? Amen. Brother Henry's got anything? Let's remember the convention, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th here. And monthly fellowship meeting will be where, Brother Henry? Brother Rose went next Tuesday night. Amen. And let's pray much for their trip. Seek the Lord that He may direct us in our pathways. Anybody got anything to say, Brother Mona? Let's all stand, be dismissed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ask Brother Malinowski to dismiss us.